This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Are you doing Jack's Encyclopedia today?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Really well, good. Just the mood you're in.
What do you mean?
Is that why you're dressed up?
Yeah, for Jackson's Encyclopedia, yeah.
Like Mastermind.
I'm in a good mood.
Basically, Brassel's not here.
Friday.
He can't have a go at Brassel, so he's having a go at you.
Can I just ask, rhetorically,
yeah, it's true, actually.
Rhetorically speaking, if you have to say loudly to everyone, I'm in a good mood,
yeah.
does that ever mean you are?
I think so.
When you have to remind people you're the king,
I tell Sarah that I'm having a lovely time, and she's going to stop saying that. It sounds like you're not having a lovely
exactly.
time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I am having a lovely time. That's why I'd say it.
But that's your sort of radio DJ thing, right? We're having a good time, aren't we? Right?
Goodness
me.
My
wife's left me.
He's got a Jag now, Pete. Got
a I Jag, have. It's in the shop.
Is it?
Yeah.
Couldn't fix it yourself in the end.
Fucking cunt. I didn't have time. Got a Bron Japan YouTube page. Took all my resources.
So you actually bought it. You've got it.
Yeah,
he's got it.
Fucked.
Yeah, was it full of piss the other day?
Full of water.
He put the piss in the front and the back was full of water.
Someone nature's
pissed
water.
On the battery.
The aqua vita.
Someone's done a piss on the battery.
Right, let's go.
Back to life, back to reality, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. The Premier League kicks off today. It's Friday, 11th of August. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidusha Hantaraja.
Welcome, one and all, to a fabulous Friday on the Football Ramble. Guten Morgen. Guten Abend. Guten Evening.
Have you got the keys ready?
I've got the keys ready.
Good man.
There we are, Luke Moore.
Has someone found the keys to Harry Kane's plane yet?
What a saga!
What a saga.
And it's not even
it's a late saga.
Fully complete, no. Everybody, Harry no. Kane. Yeah, but then it's such a big news story. This
might break while we're on air.
Might break when we're on air. We're not on air while we're recording.
Yeah, whatever.
That we're going to actually talk about the start of the Premier League in just a moment.
Yeah.
But yesterday, Bayern Munich agreed a deal with Spurs to sign Harry Kane for more than 100 million euros. And Kane himself then agreed.
Yes.
Kane agreed, which means he wants to leave. And this is crucial to the story. Whether he gets on that plane or not, whether it is indeed Alan Shearer in the cockpit and he just flies around a bit and then comes back to Stansted Airport.
Kane won't notice. They speak good English here, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Do you remember Channel 4 did that documentary where they faked sending people into space?
Yes.
And they kind of flew them around. Yeah. Daniel Levy's doing that. Just circle around for a bit.
New Spurs kits reveal. Very similar.
All or nothing's good this season.
So, Luke Moore, over to you.
We have that in England.
I fought.
Yeah.
I lost.
Mm.
Now I rest.
So, would you like to apologise to Harry, Charlie and myself?
You don't need to when it's family. No, look, you've won. I think regardless of what happens now, and obviously Fabrizio Romano and David Ornstein, the two totems of transfer news among a sea of absolute nonsense usually, have both said that, you know, regardless of all the games and the tricks that Levy is going to try and pull to change the deal or whatever, clearly Marcus, Kane does want to go. He wants to go and do the medical. He wants to go and sign for them. So ultimately, that makes you correct. That makes you right and me wrong. I didn't see it coming. I thought it's a little bit of clarification. I thought the most that could ever happen with someone like Kane was that they would use Bayern Munich to flush out Man United. Bayern Munich would agree a fee with Spurs.
Yeah.
Spurs and Man United didn't really necessarily want to deal with each other, but Man United could point to that and go, you've accepted that fee, accept this fee, and Kane will go, bang, I'm going to United. But I could have seen that happening.
But do you accept that now that is just a conspiracy theory, which you subscribe to?
It's not the only one.
I heard
I didn't accept that.
Luke was off to Luton Airport with a cricket bat.
I was, yeah.
I'm just going to play some short form in Munich.
Don't bring cricket into this. Sully cricket's name.
Do you think I've ever seen Vish so disgusting?
Short form cricket, is that the terminology?
That is the terminology.
Right,
are
you impressed?
Yeah. As if Pete hasn't been up all night researching.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Anyway,
let
me be the second or third person to say welcome back, Vish, by the way, from your cricketing travels.
Thank you.
From South London.
Oh, you racks and miles up, didn't you?
That's your Avios account.
Yeah, you were in South Africa for the Ashes, I believe.
I was, yeah. So I'm still a bit jet-lagged, Pete.
To wrestle this back.
Harry Kane, I was right, you were wrong.
Yes.
Thanks very much.
Correct.
High fives all round.
There we go.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. What's most important, though, Pete, I think we can all agree,
is
at the time we're sitting here recording this now, I think Harry Kane might be sat in a house, in a sofa, waiting for permission to get on the plane.
The way it was described, he was at the airport, and Spurs gave him permission to travel for his medical in Munich. He was then expected to fly, of course, and he was driven to Stansted, but then he was told not to fly because there was some bits and pieces in the deal that Spurs still wanted to sort of hash out. And then it was described as Harry Kane was then at a nearby family home or something, which, as somebody pointed out, makes it sound like he's moved to a safe house.
With his protection,
By the way, could I just, all of this stuff about whether Kane wanted to leave or not, and it looks like he did, so that's fair enough.
And 55.3% of our listeners said he was going to go on a poll on Twitter yesterday.
So a general kind of consensus was that, yes, pretty could go either way kind of thing.
Kexit.
Right? Yeah. Kane-sit is probably going to happen. But
he's in a bed-sit now, isn't
he? My argument was that, like, if you hire clearly an incompetent as your agent because he's your brother, he's got no other clients, and is it really indicative of a great amount of ambition? It's not like you're not thinking about, oh, he can get the best deal for me. She's like, this is easy because he's my brother.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about that, and the reason that plays into what I was going to say now is because when you talk about him being told not to get on a plane, can you imagine, like, Cristiano Ronaldo said, oh, I won't get on it then.
Yeah.
They just go.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of big players with big personalities and a lot of ambition will just say, well, sorry, but you've agreed the deal.
But he's all optics, though, isn't he? He's worried about his legacy at Spurs.
But he always
and
seems
the Premier
frightened.
League
he always seems frightened.
Yeah, but no, Ronaldo will get on the plane and just circle around the airport for a bit. Makes it just look like
burn off some petrol.
I'm not going. Yeah. They're happy. I get my sort of photographs.
Yeah, so a lot of the times in that situation, you're right. But you know, you're right from what you said before in terms of being competent in Charlie Kane.
Yeah.
With regards to, like, that'll be the agent being like, you get on the plane,
I'll
deal with the blowback.
Yeah, exactly.
You get on the plane.
Exactly.
And often the plane doesn't actually go to that destination.
Yes.
It might go nearby, but you basically won't be, it won't necessarily arrive, say, in, like, you know, in Munich airport.
I'm just going to Berlin for the weekend.
Yeah. So it's sold as that. It's like, oh, well, we're going to Spain for a break then.
Yeah.
We're going to
be fair, there is a game tomorrow.
I was about to say, on the eve of the Premier League.
It's not even the eve, is it?
It's not hard to...
Rio Ferdinand would do it.
Get in and out, is it?
True enough.
It's not the most ridiculous thing.
I wonder if
Plane, Trains and Automobiles remake with Harry and Charlie Kane.
Yeah, that's something we can agree. I just wonder if the sort of sticking point is the fact that Harry Kane, he's got his sketches football boot deal for the last time. I'm buying Munich. Yeah. Like, you're not wearing them here.
It's ridiculous.
Adidas or nothing.
I love that Charlie Kane, right, has presumably got a deal for Harry Kane's boots. He's the biggest scoring England player of all time.
Yeah.
And he's got a deal for him for a boot so bad that he's had to dust it in among all this other news that's going on. Yeah. We'll bury that. We'll bury that today.
We've got you a incredible drinks deal. Oh, wow. You know, one of the biggest drinks in the world. Coca-Cola. Well, cola, yeah.
Roller cola.
Panda Pop.
Can you still get Panda Pops?
Not even classic cola, is it?
Panda Pops is just a shoe before my son puts his foot in it. Yeah. That's confusing for the film later on.
But I think this is... presuming Kane does go, you know, he wants to go, certainly. That was the...
If Orny's calling it,
yeah,
he's unimpeachable.
I honestly think this is a superb move for him. Because, do you know what? There seems to be this... There are some corners of X... Shall we say, or Twitter?
Yeah.
So we spoke about this, Marcus. You can't do this every show.
He's defined the Musketeer and calling it Twitter still.
It's X.
Brave guy.
X,
brave guy. Yeah.
Visionary.
Anyway.
Thought leader.
On social media.
Car full of batteries. Yeah.
Right. A lot of people on social are saying that...
yes, I like that.
Yeah. Are saying that, well, so what? Like, he wins a Bundesliga. As if it's like, I don't know, like winning a Sunday league or something. The idea of, like, winning the Bundesliga with Bayern Munich seems to be just completely immaterial.
Imagine playing in a one-team league, eh? Jesus Christ.
But you get to play on that one team.
Yeah, yes. Right. No, but the thing is, though, it's so much more. I understand Bayern have won it, you know, for 500 years in a row, or whatever it is, 11 years in a row, something like that, Bundesliga. The fact is, he's going to go to one of Europe's biggest clubs, one of the biggest and most elite clubs where you are expected to win every week. You're going to be latter stages Champions League, challenging for the Champions League.
The second favourites for the Champions League.
Second favourites for the Champions League.
We don't need to be...
You're going to be the highest earner there. Yes. You're going to be the main man. You're going to have a slightly less physical and intense season ahead of the Euros as well. You're going to a country which is not too dissimilar to here, if you know,
totally
all that kind of stuff. It's a glorious opportunity, and he signed a 4-year deal. You play there for 2 or 3 seasons, because you would imagine 2 or 3 seasons if this Alan Shearer Premier League record is so important. It's a brilliant move, and to go to a club like that to say, I know what it's like to play for one of the undisputed big boys of European football. This idea that people go, oh, so won't you win the Bundesliga with Bayern? Well, what?
Michael Owen was one of them.
There you go.
Mickey Owen,
one of my few interviewees.
Yeah.
But I just think this whole business with Alan Shearer's record, Alan Shearer's the fifth highest scorer in English top flight history. Now, I know that doesn't mean anything to the kids and so on. It's all about Premier League. But it's Jimmy Greaves. Yeah. And Alan Shearer's number 5 on that list. I get that, but Kane is England's top scorer. It will be unlikely if anyone ever usurps that, or indeed it will take a long time. The same with top goal scorer at Spurs. With this Premier League scoring record, get the Bundesliga, go after the Champions League. And I think his decision is spot on here.
I totally agree with that. I also think one of the things that is being overlooked here to a point, and maybe it isn't actually, because there's just been a sea of information and articles and updates out there that maybe, you know, gets lost between the cracks. But you say Bayern are second favourite for the Champions League. They're closer to favourite with Harry Kane.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Harry Kane makes them a better team.
Indeed. They're a closer favourite to the Champions League than Spurs are.
I think that's the other element that is lost in this, because of this saga has been going on for about 3 years now. Mm-hmm. It's what Harry Kane brings to Bayern Munich. He is an outstanding player. Yeah. They're not just getting a goal scorer. They're getting someone who posts De Bruyne numbers in terms of assists and how he works with the creation side of a team.
The wingers they have and the players around him, Brassel's already mapped it out. It's a brilliant thing.
Yeah, and you know, your point about a less, you know, grueling season coming into the Euros is absolutely spot on because of their winter break.
Yeah.
He'll probably come back on loan to Spurs to play the Christmas period.
There you go.
You know, top himself up every now and again.
And also as well, Harry Kane is Mr. Tottenham Hotspur, despite that photo of a youngster of him allegedly when he was wearing an Arsenal shirt. And, you know, he is their top scorer. He's one of the greatest players in their history. If he did go to Man City or Manchester United, for example, that would sully that a little bit. It would.
I don't think that matters anymore. I think, like, gone are the days of undying loyalty, and maybe that was a bit more romanticised because there wasn't as fluid a movement in the transfer market. Players, do you remember, there was a stage in the 90s where, you know, Italian rivals would just pick players off each other.
Do you remember?
And then suddenly that happened in the Premier League in, like, 2000, it took like a little 2005, longer. Whatever. You know, well, maybe a bit further on.
Do you remember Battistuta? He got his statue at Fiorentina. Was like, right, I'm off to Roma to win Serie A.
Nice.
I mean, you know that, but it is like I honestly I think this is a brilliant move. But the, I mean, the personal stuff, of course, his wife is soon to give birth and so on. There's a lot of all that kind of thing. But we can only speculate on that. You, when you have these conversations, you're effectively playing fantasy football. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I also I realize I've like co-opted this, but
fucking out of order. That's my job normally.
But I also feel like whatever decision he makes will be the right decision.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many pros on both sides, and the cons are really what you might miss out on. It's like nebulous concepts, basically. So I think for him, either way, there won't be as much regret there.
No.
Well, so, I don't think if he...
How can you turn down Bayern?
If he stays at Spurs his whole career, I think we've got a right to not take him that seriously.
Well, look, imagine a player
our thing.
A player of that calibre finishing his footballing career without a trophy.
Yeah.
But like, he's more chance of winning a trophy with England than Spurs.
But do you not think
that's the
truth. But you not think, Mark, like, we are arguing with people like Michael Owen, who genuinely think that Bayern aren't an incredible footballing side, and the Bundesliga isn't an incredible footballing league. What we should be looking at is Daniel Levy. Like, the money was on offer.
Yeah.
This same amount of money would have been on offer at the start of the summer.
Yep.
Why is it happening on the day the Premier League starts?
Yeah,
what a ridiculous situation.
He always does that.
Well, it could have been Kane Ramin.
This is the worst example of it.
But Bayern did go in with a couple of lower offers, didn't they? And it took a while to get to the
But do you not think that could have happened?
I probably.
I take the point. The fact is that Ange Postecoglou is saying he wants Kane to stay, and Kane played recently against, was it Shakhtar, and da 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 da. But, you know, unconfirmed reports that Richarlison was the one who gave him a lift to the airport. You know, he'll be very happy about this.
You know, Pete, I know you're a big eBayer. And, you know, when it gets to the end of the deadline, you're like, right, I'm just going to pay the price that gets me outright.
Yeah. Like, I mean, buy it now.
I think Pete's definitely on the side, because
They'll buy two Harry Kanes.
Yeah.
If you're a Spurs fan, I mean, you know, you're thinking, okay, we haven't got a huge amount of time to replace him. What are we basically going to do? And we need
one of the best strikers in the world for 100 million.
But I think there's an element to this, and it's very hard to make a proper argument. You know, losing somebody who scores 30 Premier League goals in a season is a good thing. But I suppose overall it isn't a good thing. But if you're trying to find ways of being positive about it, you would probably say, look, this is a saga. Every single manager that's come in
has had to deal with this the last few
years has been able to deal with this. And I think Postecoglou looks like he's dealt with it pretty well.
I do.
You say that, I can't remember who it was who said it, he wants him to stay. Well, of course he wants him to stay. He's one of the best strikers in the world. But he's also been pretty kind of relaxed about it.
Yeah.
Like, I'll do whatever. I want it sorted one way or another, and then I can move on with my life, because we're trying to build a team here. That's exactly the right noises he should be making.
Yeah.
So from Spurs' point of view, to cast it in a positive light, you could say, right, it's done.
Yep.
Get on with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Everyone exhale, relax a bit, and now you attack the season without this hanging over your head, because at the very least, it's going to hang over his head. It would have hung over their head for another few months at least, because he may have signed a new contract, but he wouldn't have signed one probably straight away. It's nipped in the bud. Move on with your life.
And they've got a huge fee as well, and he's only got 1 year left on his contract.
Enjoy your 12th place.
Enjoy your money.
Yeah.
Harry Kane is perhaps in an aeroplane as we're speaking, perhaps not, but we'll move on from that now and talk about the Premier League. Because normally, on a day like today, we would call it the Premier League Eve, but it's not. The Premier League starts this evening on the Friday Night Lights in Burnley versus Manchester City. Pep Guardiola has said it's impossible for Manchester City to repeat the treble. What a Debbie Downer to start the season on. Well, you don't expect them to win all that, do you?
I think that kind of makes sense, though, doesn't it?
Concentrate on the League Cup.
For him to say that, yeah.
So if they win the League Cup, then it's a successful season.
It's quite literally not impossible, is it?
Yeah.
No, but it's his way of saying...
At least agree on that.
Oh, you know, has anyone done the treble back-to-back? No.
Not that treble, no.
So we're just going to do this every year, like the treble three times?
Yeah.
Treble cubed?
This is all about Kompany versus Guardiola, surely. Kompany said he's under no illusions about Burnley's place in the Premier League. And he said the club needs to be in permanent guerrilla mode. I do like that, going on raids, guerrilla warfare. Yeah. Come on,
it's nice.
That is big talk.
It's nice.
Yeah,
it's
I do
nice.
Enjoy that. I think there's a lot of people who are interested in what Burnley are going to do this season. They were superb in the Championship, of course.
They
last
were Susan Perb.
They were indeed. They were all of that, and they're in the Premier League. And as Fulham showed last season, you can knock the Championship out the park and then go up and play football on the front foot. And a very, very respectable finish.
I think, and that's an interesting template for Burnley and Luton and I suppose for Sheffield United as well, it'll be a case of this is how we play, this is how we're going to approach this, and Burnley can look to Fulham as a template, but you touched on something there, which I'll expand upon. It's like, it could easily, no matter how good you are from the Championship coming up, you could easily go 8 games without getting a single point.
Exactly.
And then what do you do?
Yeah.
Do you hold your nerve? Do you go, okay, we need to carry on doing what we do because sooner or later it's going to come right?
Yep.
And can you bring the players along with you?
Yep.
Or do you have to change it and go, look, we just need to get something, and all of a sudden you're undoing your own philosophy? I think with Company, given the players they've signed in the summer...
They've got a little bit of Premier League experience.
They do.
Not huge, but a little bit.
So what he seems to have done is he's not gone after really big names. He's gone after players that maybe have got a little bit of experience in the Premier League and or can slot into exactly how he wants to play. So what he's almost doing is saying... how can we further kind of, you know, kind of insulate ourselves for that higher standard while still playing the way we want to play? I think they've got a decent chance.
Can I just mention one of those signings?
Yeah,
because he's clearly, as I say, we know he likes the detail and all the rest of it. Company very aware that Man City is their opening game of the season. He's got in Nathan Redmond.
Yeah.
Hey, Vish.
Distract him.
How about that? That's I love it. That is
Pep, who's that over there?
Right, you're going to play on the flank.
Yeah.
And in the second half, you're going to play on the opposite flank. And you're going to just take all the notes he gives you. Every note he gives you, just put it in your pocket.
Yeah. How old do you think Nathan Redmond is?
30.
29.
Yeah.
29.
I thought he was younger. I thought Nathan Redmond was about 33, 34 for
Imagine
some
that every time he runs down.
How old
the
are you, Nathan? How old are you, mate? Nathan, how old are you?
I'm just giving Pep ideas to questions to engage him
just
with.
He's running down the wing on Pep's side and Pep's trying to grab at his hand.
Nathan, I miss you. You're still real to me.
Why has Pep got dollar bills in his front pocket?
Why is Pep instructing Kevin De Bruyne to play Nathan Redmond in down the wing?
Kevin, look at this. What is he doing?
Why is Nathan Redmond in a thong?
Oh dear.
Oh, yeah. Nathan, what do you think of the shape we're playing now? What do you think of this formation, Nathan?
I'll tell you what. Does
this please you, sire?
What is this? Redmond scores and Pep runs on like Mourinho.
Knee slide.
I'll tell you what.
Give it a cup in the ears. What did I tell you?
Man City could be 5-0 up. Redmond gets a consolation. Guardiola's on the pitch.
Yeah. That's ideal for him. But Peter, this puts a lot of pressure on Nathan Redmond because not only does he have to perform for his own manager, he also has to perform for Pep Guardiola, who will have a go at him.
I just don't think his hairline can handle it.
Really?
Like you said, he looks older than he does.
Yeah, well,
so his hairline's absolutely gone.
What Company's doing is saying, you're going behind enemy lines in the first day of the season. If we don't get a result out of it, you're going on loan. Yeah. Until next time.
You know the bit in Inglourious Basterds where the actress is actually an agent?
Yeah.
And
she
sat drinking with the Germans? Is that Nathan Redford?
What's Nathan doing in this dressing room?
Yeah. Pep Guardiola comes in with a football boot. Mm. Put your foot on my...
Lads, we're playing 4-3-3. Don't do three like that.
Good reference.
That's a good reference.
Yeah. Well, it is brilliant, isn't it, that Company faces off against his old side, Manchester City, of course.
I'd be very annoyed about that Luton Town postponement because obviously they were supposed to be playing Luton Town and Kenilworth Ward. Canoverford is obviously getting some work done. So it would have been Man City, Luton, and I think Villa. I think Spurs are in the mix as well. Mm. So I think... You know, you'd be looking at that Luton fixture to get three points.
This ramps up the narrative, though, Pete, doesn't it?
Is there any kind of conspiracy theory, kind of Matt Letizia, Tim Four Hat stuff around the fact that Burnley and Man City have somehow found a way to play each other on the opening day on a Friday night?
Mm. What do you mean, as in, like?
Because the fixture computer is the fixture computer, right?
Yeah,
but it does seem to throw up some stuff.
It's always a bit of narrative.
It does seem to.
I think the press.
He's just asking questions.
That's Luke Moore showing the old lawyer school there. Well, it does seem to throw up a bit of stuff, Your Honour.
I'm just asking the question. Like me and Matt Letizia, like I subscribe to Matt Letizia's newsletter.
I know you do.
And we get a lot of questions
after. Do you read that before or after Keyes' blog? Or do you read Keyes' blog after so you can wash it off?
My Friday is Matt Letizia newsletter. Ramble, Keys Blog.
The thing that worries me
breakfast,
is that
main course dinner.
Is that, that Luke, to all intents and purposes, appears to be a quite strong-willed, intelligent man. But I do worry the more UFO videos he watches, the more videos he sends me, and I think he's surprisingly suggestible.
I'm down the rabbit hole with UFOs. I've been gone for about a year.
You're the bloke from Blink-182. Yeah, shut up about
him. With no resources, so I can't do anything about it.
Oh, no.
Can we just dwell on the fact that Luke Moore called lunch main course?
I said breakfast, main course, dinner. I don't know what that means. Oh, I don't know what it means.
Is that brunch?
It's a big old feast. Well, back to the Premier League, though. I think this is a mouthwatering one, Burnley, Man City, because we want to see what Burnley have got to do. And is it best to play Man City first, Vish? Catch them cold.
I think so. If you think of the FA Cup meeting last year where they got pumped 6-0, where that was the first, Pep and Vincent.
Up a tree.
Yeah, with Nathan Redman on the side. But that was the first meeting between them, and it felt like a bit of a free hit. We all kind of knew that Burnley's priorities at the time were the league, and, you know, they smashed that. And, you know, what Luke and you were talking about earlier about them having to tailor their approach because, you know, what I think they averaged 65% in the Championship last season. They're not really going to do that, but obviously they don't want to lose a lot of those qualities because, you know, we see it more and more with teams coming up now. And I suppose Brentford is quite a, you know, a big big-time example of this, but, like, actually, you keep the ball and you counter-attack well. You're going to do pretty well in this league.
Do you know what, though, Vish? Look at Fulham as the template, as Marcus said earlier.
Also Fulham, yeah.
Yeah, I was at the opening day of last season when Fulham played Liverpool at Craven Cottage and it was 2-2 and Fulham played Liverpool off the park.
Yeah.
Now, I know Liverpool didn't have a great season last year, but no one was expecting that. They played the way that you'd expected them to play if they were really confident still in the Championship. And they went, the first three games, didn't lose a game. They narrowly lost to Arsenal a few games in.
Yeah, wait.
And their season was typified by them playing in this way.
Just carry on doing what you're doing.
And I don't think you can necessarily say that at the time, Fulham had a markedly better record of the Championship than Burnley have had. Mm. So,
Silver said before the Fulham season last year, he was worried. You know, there was down signings and it looked very, very bleak and you lot thought they were going to get relegated. But with regards to this, you know, but it's interesting you mentioned Liverpool because Liverpool, obviously, they won two trophies out of four, nearly an unprecedented quadruple season for them. And clearly inertia set in for a lot of last season, and they tried to pick up the pieces towards the end. They did a little bit, but didn't get into the Champions League. It will be interesting to see how Manchester City do this season, or certainly how they start, because that treble-winning season and the scenes of celebration and so on, I'm not saying they're going to be rubbish. You know, that's not how Guardiola does things, and we have the examples of his Barcelona sides to see how they could respond, perhaps. Mm. But it could, you know, if you're Vincent Kompany, you're saying, right, up and at him.
Yeah, you know? Especially if you think of the you know, Man City, they started very well last season. Mm-hmm. But if you think of the losses that they've had, Gundogan being the standout one. Mm-hmm. Also someone like Mahrez, who always seems to be able to unpick these kind of awkward games.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
There is, you know, I suppose much in the same way we could probably argue this about any team who did remotely well last year, mm-hmm. that they might be able to be caught cold first game of the season. But also, like,
basically what we're
Burnley
saying
at home, under lights. That's a pretty good way to start.
It is, yeah. What we're saying is don't win too many trophies, otherwise you become rubbish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then people, where do you know? Go? Well, that's why it's impossible.
It's proof that Man City are not very good now because they won the treble last season. Yeah.
Exactly. That's why Harry's going to Germany.
Indeed, yeah. I'd like to see Burnley start with their new goalkeeper, James Trafford. Because we've got him from Manchester City. It'd be lovely to see him because we saw him at the under-21
great,
Euros.
Great record, yeah, for
indeed,
England, yeah.
Indeed, indeed. Peter, what have you got on your screen?
What have I got on my screen? I've got an email. Hi all, just seen Sammy Lee shopping in Zara, of all places, which seems like a rogue shop for a man who's only ever seen in a tracksuit, which he was wearing when I saw him. I can only imagine Big Sam was in the changing rooms waiting for Sammy's advice on which colour cargo pants to buy and his next batch of Werther's Originals.
Who's that from? Aston.
That is from a man called Aston.
And I like the idea of Sammy Lee just trying to find something with the biggest pockets possible to get all
to keep all of his
there.
Things, yeah.
I like that Big Sam's got a mention and the Premier League hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, he'd be loving that.
Yeah, he will.
He's in Zara just trying to get some winter clothes.
The most random assistant manager spot I've ever had, I told you, I saw John Carver cycling down the Thames on a quite an old mountain bike with a plastic bag on each handlebar.
Yeah, good. Good.
I have no idea why
If you want to treat yourself, do give Sammy Lee suit a Google because, to be honest, his suit collection is actually quite good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Double-breasted woolen, woolen waistcoat.
Love
and
that.
It's
a nice fit.
Stuff.
Yeah, fair
indeed,
enough.
Yeah. Well, I'm intrigued as to where we'll see Burnley's assistant manager, what he'll be up to.
Yeah, exactly.
Craig Bellamy.
Yeah, exactly.
Craig Bellamy. Remember, everybody, you can get in touch with the show at any time. We're at Football Ramble on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok and YouTube, or you can email us at footballramble.com. All right, let's have a quick break.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome. Like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs.
no deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Dion Dublin, and when I'm not banging my dube, I'm listening to the Football Ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's talk more Premier League. Last season, Chelsea versus Liverpool was last on Match of the Day on a particularly strange occasion. Well, it's the top of our second half on the show because we want to respect that fixture.
And the two massive clubs involved.
Indeed, yeah. And also the massive signing that Liverpool have appeared to have made. They've beaten Chelsea to Moyes' Casido. They've agreed a British record £110 million fee with Brighton after Chelsea could only stump up £100 million.
Yeah, don't believe that bit.
Yeah,
we're not. I reckon they could stump up another £10 million.
We're not paying that for Bellingham. We will pay it for Caicedo, who is objectively a worse player.
Well, yeah. I mean,
they are different players.
They are, but who would you rather have in your team?
Yeah, I think Bellingham, obviously, but I suppose, like, if you're getting... I'm not saying Bellingham couldn't do a lot of the Caicedo things that he would do.
I'm just saying...
be a waste of Bellingham.
But Vish, all I'm saying is... Go through the summer, and if Bellingham isn't part of the equation, I imagine Liverpool fans are pretty happy with that. I'm sure they're fairly happy anyway, but if they're being honest with themselves, they're going... Okay, it was reported by credible media outlets earlier in the summer that Liverpool were on record as saying we're not going to pay that amount of money for one player, and that's why we're not going for Bellingham. Could have been bollocks, but it was attributed to them, and now they have done it day before the season starts. Well, it PR-wise, doesn't look great.
There's also, you know, Jurgen Klopp's comments after United re-signed Paul Pogba from Juventus about how, like, market inflation and stuff like that, and Liverpool would never want to be responsible for something like that. That seems irresponsible. And
You said Liverpool fans would be happy. I'm sure that any happiness now would have been replaced with anger and annoyance towards you.
Me, yeah, probably. I'll be the lightning rod. Yeah. But they needed. Look, I think a mammal with a fucking head in that midfield would have been an improvement given what they've gone through this summer.
I mean, the only thing
they needed players for sure.
It's a massive upgrade on Henderson as well.
With regards to the money. I mean, the Bellingham deal was done, what was it reported, like in April or something with Real Madrid? You know, Real Madrid apparently worked very, very hard, and against Manchester City, they seem to be the rival, and he would have probably, again, according to some reports, made a little bit more money at Manchester City, but Real Madrid really, really, you know, worked at that, and of course they got their man. And at that time, Liverpool were trying to kind of rectify their season, if that's the right word. They hadn't got any of the money that they had from sales to Saudi Arabia. And they couldn't guarantee him Champions League football. And of course, they haven't got Champions League football. So your points sort of stand, as you say, Jurgen Klopp saying about inflation in the market, and we're not going to pay that kind of money for a player. They have paid that money, but the money is now available, I suppose.
That's fine. My point is, it's about how you manage the message. There's no disgrace.
Okay, well, indeed.
There's no disgrace, whoever you are, in losing a player to Real Madrid. Mm. We all know that.
But they're trying
just
to
don't
save,
say anything.
But they're trying to save face, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they've just shat all over their own face, haven't they?
I mean, but they have signed a brilliant player.
He's a good player. You're right. We shouldn't get away from that. He's a fantastic player.
It's a huge feat, and it takes the pressure off Declan Rice a little bit, Peter.
Yeah, but I mean, proven Premier League experience is the new young English talent, isn't it? Really?
It
adds 20 million onto whatever price you pay.
Yeah.
There's a lot to be said for that, because do you remember when Liverpool signed Alisson?
Yeah.
And people were like, oh, that's a lot of money. And then Chelsea signed Kepa.
Yes.
They were like, oh, that's more money.
Yeah.
And as you say,
who would you rather have?
Probably similar players.
Kepa or Alisson?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the point, but it massively weighed on Kepa's shoulders, but because it started the conversation, and then someone gazumped it before we even had the conversation. Got into the conversation.
It's worth saying that Brighton have done very well at it.
Oh my goodness, they haven't they just?
Because they've played it perfectly by essentially setting up this kind of like behind the scenes auction.
Yeah.
And what they've said is, I think there's a temptation when you're a club the size of Brighton and you're running a club that size, the decisions you make, I think emotionally will probably be like, it's really frustrating that we found a player like Casado who's been brilliant. We don't think it's fair that we're going to lose him. That's what tends to be informing all the decisions that are made. Whereas Brighton have actually been a lot more adult about it and said, okay, that's the way football is. We're going to lose him. But if we are going to lose him, this is what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And at least they can then say to their fans, well, it's 110 million quid. You know, we were going to lose him anyway.
Would it even be stupid to turn that down?
Yeah.
You know, like with that kind of money, I know people might say, oh, now people know Brighton have got a lot of money, they'll be held to ransom. You're always going to take that. You know, and also as well, the way that club is run, it's not just about signings for that kind of money.
The remarkable thing about it is when Casado pulled out that statement, basically to try and engineer a move to Arsenal at the start of the year, I was kind of like, right, this would be really interesting. I know we were able to do it with Cucurella, but for such a sought-after midfielder to have publicly said he wants away, for him to then, you know, for them to then make this much money from him is remarkable. As Luke said, they've played it perfectly.
Yeah.
And the other thing I would say is, whatever happens, you know, wherever he does end up, and it does obviously look like Liverpool at this juncture, if other teams have got anything about him, they are starting the fund right now for whoever Brighton get in to replace him.
Well, do you know what? You're looking at Brighton's transfers.
Well, they've already got Millie, James Milner, haven't they?
There you go, you see.
Do a job.
Looking at Brighton's transfers this season, what they've done in the window, again, you think, well, there's nothing too inspiring. That's what they do.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what they do. But let's focus on Chelsea and Liverpool. And Liverpool have had, you know, two big signings from Brighton. Well, Casado, again, it's not signed, sealed and delivered yet, but it looks like that's going to happen at the time of recording. I don't know whether he would be available for Sunday, presuming the deal all gets ratified, etc., etc. Alexis McAllister will be. And Luke, you said that Liverpool needed an overhaul of that midfield. It was a little bit leggy. They've sold Fabinho, they've sold Henderson, notably, of
and
course.
Milner.
Well, Milner's gone as well.
Let's not leave Milner out of this.
No, you're right.
Absolute servants of the Premier League.
You're absolutely right. He still is, baby. Yeah, he still is.
He'll play 38 games next season. He'll play every minute.
So it's interesting that Liverpool, perhaps, we've said this for a little while, they're in transition or whatever, I don't know, but Chelsea certainly are.
Yeah.
Oh, there, you don't know. I think you could probably extrapolate that out.
Go on.
To a lot of, look at all the teams at the top end of the Premier League. It's actually quite a fascinating situation. Because I agree with what you're saying about Chelsea, but you know, Manchester City have lost two key players and they've brought a couple of players in, and they're probably the exception, but they've still got to solve or answer the questions that you mentioned the first half about potential inertia. Liverpool in transition, Chelsea are in transition, Spurs are in transition. Mm. Arsenal need to prove again they can do what they did last season. That was a kind of outlier season for them. No one was expecting that.
Manchester United?
Man United are building. But can they maintain that momentum?
Oh, so what's the difference between building and transitioning?
Well, I think Man United have shown they've got a platform based on what they did last season.
You can transition down.
I think Vish will know better than me, but I think what Ten Hag is starting to do there should be encouraging. I don't think there should be any questions.
I think Arteta and Arsenal are building. I don't think it's transitioning.
I think Man United have had a better track record overall, though, haven't they?
Okay,
definitely. I think the Chelsea story is really interesting, because you remember, like, last time Poch was in the Premier League, probably a year, 2 years into his tenure at Spurs, he had like
he had great players, Lamella, Eriksen, Ali, when when he was playing.
You started that with Lamella.
He had great players, but he didn't have world beaters. He didn't have, and obviously he spent a couple of years at a glitzy boutique store in Doha, but he's kind of like now he's in the Premier League, and he can really sort of the only will he has to bend is Todd Boehly, who I mean, to be honest, the manager before the last one, he was just trying to sign Cristiano Ronaldo constantly, so he will undercut him at any given time.
I reckon Boehly's the kind of guy, he's just always on the phone, calling you all the time. What do you think of this player? Fucking leave it.
The window's shut. Don't worry about it. But I just like the fact that he's brought in like players like Tyler Adams, who should be there by the time the show goes out. I think that's a lot. Those kind of things are lovely signs. Just really intense. Particularly physically imposing, but hard working.
You think
you get
the best out of someone like violent, but someone like Mudryk, of course, who came huge price tag, a lot of promise, didn't quite do it, but then crying out loud, Chelsea were a bit of a basket case last season. That's the type of player that you think Potter would get the best out of.
I think it's a big ask. I think Pete's right.
It's a huge job, but I'm excited about it.
It's big. It's a big ask.
Pete's excited about Chelsea. That's interesting.
The players going out and coming in again. It's just the turnover is unbelievable.
But the manager, you're looking at the manager.
He'll succeed despite of the system rather than because.
How well do you think Chelsea will do this season? Are you thinking that they should be knocking on the door for fourth spot?
I think they're going to be the most fascinating team to watch this season because if you think of what Pochettino did at Spurs, as Pete alluded to, he had a lot of young, unestablished talent. Like very talented players, but unestablished in terms of profile. And, you know, brought them up to scratch and to standard, to a high quality as well.
And had a huge influence on Harry Kane, by the way.
And they also, you know, and he's at a Chelsea squad now where there's been a lot of turnover. There are a ridiculous number of talented youngsters in that team. Yeah, and I don't just mean kind of like 18, 19-year-olds. I mean young 20-year-olds who are hungry for starts, who want to be given responsibility to do stuff.
And Spurs, he managed to sort of balance, you know, relatively good-looking football, and it's going to be really interesting. I'm really excited about this season for Chelsea. Well, I think Chelsea fans should be too.
And I also think like if he wants to distract Todd Boehly, he can, shake his keys or something.
that's my gig, baby. Reece James has been named as their new captain.
Yeah, and I think that does. I've got nothing against Reece James.
Eventful time for the Jameses family.
It is. I think, as I said to you before, I mean, he's still only 23, Reece James, and all those great English right backs that started coming through.
Yeah,
I think on his day, he's the best on a lot.
He's got everything
in his locker. But I do think actually, it does speak to the amount of turnover of players that that he's been selected as captain. I was kind of confused. I thought about that, and I thought, who are the other candidates really? Yeah. And I suppose the only one I could settle on was Raheem Sterling. And I'm surprised he's been passed over for it. But I don't really know how it was appointed, because I know at some clubs they do a vote and all that kind of stuff.
Well, perhaps around the dressing room. I mean, James is a product. Let's be honest, you know, you love it when you have a player who's come up through the ranks and all.
Yeah, but I suspect, Marcus, that captaincy of a club and of an international team is something that the players themselves care a lot less about than we do.
Yeah, possibly.
The media obsess over it quite a lot.
David Beckham recently, or was it recently, certainly said that it was the proudest moment of his career when he was made England captain.
That's great.
I mean, there was a lot of England marks in the England side that, you know, you sort of go, do you think Brazil care?
Yeah. No,
when we used to have a Ramble five-a-side team, you bought a captain's armband for yourself.
You all bought one as well.
We all bought it for you.
Yeah.
So don't tell me you weren't proud.
I was proud.
Right, okay.
I was proud.
Did you wear one on both arms?
No other candidates. No other candidates. Listen,
Vish,
I looked around the squad and I thought, I'm on my own here. It's only one thing for it.
Because you've been sent off for kicking people.
yeah, they're still playing. Yeah.
Throw away your medals. What medals?
Peter, are you excited for Newcastle United this season?
I am, yeah. I mean, it's kind of, as always, this new project Newcastle-wise is tinted and, you know, you've got to worry about everything. But
documentary looks pretty thin gruel, doesn't it?
One of the trailers they sort of put out was like them...
Just a man that's stabled in a car.
Stabled in a car trying to secure the services of Anthony Gordon. It was so low peril,
wasn't it? Amazon's All or Nothing documentary on Newcastle.
Just put some music behind it.
Comes out today. Because the fog in the tunnel. Not that.
I do think they're bluffing, actually. Actually, I think they're bluffing. I think we can go in harder and we can get Anthony Gordon.
Can we get Gazza in the background supping on sickly, sausage rolls?
Yeah.
Imagine that. Gaz in the background just munching on the song. That would be a lovely nod, wouldn't it?
It would be a lovely nod.
I think I might draw the line there.
It's next on my list to watch.
Can we get Tony Blair on?
TV show Hijack.
There you go. Well, yes. God. Sean Longstaff was talking about the Amazon documentary, of course. And he said of the experience, "I'm just a little fish, so the crew weren't really following me around. I'll leave that to Popey and Trips. I'd just go and glide by. At one point, I was thinking, am I ever going to get on this thing?"
The great thing about it is the first line there, "I'm just a little fish," reads like it's been translated from another language.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? Like it's English isn't its first language.
Or it's a reference to, was it Kieran Dyer or...
Jose Mourinho's Little Horse?
Little Horse, that's nice.
Big fish in a small... Goldfish ball.
Mourinho's little horse
he
was great.
Said, he should have said, "I'm a little seahorse," as a nod to
the
Madeleine.
Yeah, indeed.
The Mourinho little horse was amazing.
That was class, yeah.
So good.
But Longstaff apparently went on holiday with some of the squad to Las Vegas in the summer, and he said, "Oh, I was glad the cameras didn't follow us there."
Why does he say that?
Oi, oi.
Yeah.
Imagine if the interview.
Why? Yeah. Because I was in my room just crying.
He killed a man.
He started listing off activities, and the people are like,
"We stole Mike Tyson's tiger."
Oh dear. Yeah. So they're kicking off against Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Hard one to call that.
I think
it's Villa are intriguing.
I think it's a really nice opening fixture because it's on telly.
Yeah.
And you've got two upwardly mobile teams. Mm. Villa have disappeared way under the radar in my view. Emery's a brilliant operator. They've been so good under him, and I feel that people have been a bit like, he's just pulled them back to par after Gerrard's fucking nonsense, which is partly true, but he's got an amazing record as a coach, Emery. Mm. And I think a real nice test to see where the teams are on the opening day against a team like Newcastle at St James's Park as well is a really interesting fixture.
I mean, they played each other like 10 days ago or something, 3-3.
Not the same, was it?
It was quite intense, quite kicky.
Was it?
Not the same.
It's not the same. But Newcastle have been absolutely flying in pre-season, and every player has looked pretty decent, in my opinion.
Mm.
It's quite sad for Villa that Emi Buendia is out for 8 months. That I think he was quite crucial to...
Really sad.
You know, because he works hard. He's so good on the ball. And like I feel like he was just developing. Well, not just developing, because he finished really strong at the back end of the season. But being able to play out wide and also influence in the middle, like very few players do that. Like Coutinho was doing that back in the day, but Buendia was doing that here and now.
Indeed, yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Ollie Watkins. Mm. It's kind of like the Euros are coming. Obviously, Tony's still serving his ban. Yeah. There's a chance there for somebody to come in and try and get that second spot behind Harry Kane.
Do you think the back end of the season was the first time you really... And I'm projecting a bit here, but do you think it was the first time you really saw Watkins actually do a bit more than hold up the ball with your back to a defender?
Yeah.
He felt a little bit more involved, a bit more intricate than previously.
That's like, why when coaches like Emery come here, it serves the England team, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
they go, what have I got here? Like, why have you just used him in a weird way?
I
know what you mean about Watkins, but I think there's a combination of answers to that. I think one is that, like, it's not... Because Kane has always been so much far and away number one.
Yeah.
That... It's almost a bit like an afterthought as to who you pick up.
Yeah.
Because he's captain, he plays all the time and he always scores, right?
Mm.
And so it almost becomes an afterthought of a conversation.
I know what you mean.
And then you have... do you have a massive amount of English strikers?
Two of them should be on display there.
Wilson, Tony, and Watkins.
Yeah.
And
Calvert-Lewin's dropped off.
So that it's not really a massive amount of options.
Yeah, I mean, people might say Rashford, but he's clearly going to be on one of the flanks, you would think. Gentlemen, let's finish off the Premier League chat with the aforementioned Brighton at home to Luton on Saturday at 3 p.m. Luton Town kick off their first campaign back in the top flight since 1992. And they've signed Ross Barkley for the occasion. Who looked very confused, didn't he?
Andy said that when Ross Barkley signed for Nice, the manager publicly stated he didn't know where he played.
Because, he was like, "Who are you?"
Which is not great.
I can't believe that to be true. I mean,
but that's. I reckon he would have meant that.
You know, where do you prefer to play?
Yeah, because
it's clearly not.
Like,
where,
but like, you know, I could ask you. You're a Ross Barkley fan by proxy because he's English.
He played in that many great England performances. Yeah. Got his bronze medal at the UEFA Nations League. Yeah. Carry on. Do you want me to carry on?
What's his best position?
Fish, why are you doing this?
I don't know what I got myself in for. I'll just put my hand in the crocodile's mouth.
No, what? None of us even know when the next interesting England game is, and that you're still doing it.
It's not far off. It really isn't.
It never is, isn't it?
Well, look, I'm getting my calendar where I just tick off the days.
So, but, what would you say Barkley's best position is?
Well, I
ask that as someone who doesn't have an answer.
No, it's a fair question. I mean, midfield, I would say.
Jesus. In a 4-4-2.
Yeah, there you go.
Staying and then going.
He needs someone to stay. Yeah. I mean, he might. It will be interesting how they use him. Whether it was number 10 or how Luton set up. Would it be sort of out wide and so on? He's a little bit versatile. He didn't have a great time at Nice, but we shall see. But Luton is a fascinating story. And of course, we've done a two-part a series for you to listen.
A deep dive.
A very deep dive,
yeah,
into Luton Town on the Football Ramble. Rob Edwards, the manager, is a beautiful man to listen to. He's a beautiful man to look at.
Yeah, he's always rendition at the old promotion party.
Yeah.
He let himself down there.
Well, he started... So Bon Jovi
started,
okay. Always,
he started like he could hold a note.
When he started singing, I was like, oh, here we go.
But he's done what a lot of amateur singers do, where he's not understood how high it goes.
How good John Bond is.
Yeah, so what you need to do is you need to work out in your mind how high it's going to go and then start accordingly low.
That's right,
But he started off way too high.
He did,
You're going to take on, I mean, Marcus knows better than anyone, Pete. You know, you're going to take on a John Bon Jovi number.
Yeah.
You've got to show it the respect it deserves. You know, Marcus went and saw Bon Jovi like four times in a row.
In a row?
Last year.
What does that mean?
No, you've been seeing him on multiple occasions.
Twice. Is that so multiple?
You're a multiple, you're a multiple Jovius.
You saw Bon Jovi twice.
Yeah. I just to make sure.
Is there something you didn't get in the first?
Yeah.
Indeed, there was.
Not get a double meaning.
No.
The first time, right?
It was the second time was a freebie. And
I mean, to be fair, always out of all of his Uber, that's the best Bon Jovi song.
He said that. He said it was his best.
I think
song.
I think it's a good number.
Dead
it's the only song I know all the lyrics to.
What? The only song in the entirety of?
We're not doing that. We are not doing that.
Hang on. I just want to one question before we move on. The national anthem.
That is my national anthem.
Well, anyway, look, Luton, again, we talked about how fascinating it will be to see Burnley, but I think a lot of people are looking at Luton and thinking, blimey, is this even a professional outfit?
Yeah.
What are they going to do? But what do you think for Luton, Luke? Are you thinking they're going to go plummeting straight back down?
I like their little hats.
Do you like that? Well, they are the hatters.
Yeah, they had little straw boaters on, didn't they, their promotion pie. My less patronising answer is that what's interesting is that Rob Edwards even admitted himself.
Yes.
That he didn't really change much when he took over from Nathan Jones. Now, obviously, that was quite early in the season. I think he's doing himself a bit of discredit there because they delivered what they delivered. But if he's basically saying that he used Nathan Jones's template, then obviously this Premier League season is going to be a much bigger challenge for him. And for example, this is a kind of similar point to what we're making about Burnley earlier, but more specifically to Luton. For example, they like to play with two strikers, right? Are they going to do that in the Premier League? Are they going to do that in an opening game away to Brighton, which is by no means their toughest ask of the season, but it's still a really tough ask. Brighton are well settled, know what they're all about.
Yep.
We've got to the point now, even just as football fans, where we see Brighton and we go, okay, they've lost a couple of really important players, but we trust them to kind of deal with it. With Luton, there's a lot of questions to be answering, and particularly away from home, how they're going to approach it is the most interesting question. I think they've been more intent, from what I saw of them, they've been a lot more intense under Edwards than they were under Jones. But it's a tough ask to do that when you get so little of the ball, particularly in the summer months. So I think that, to me, it looks like the players buy into the system, they buy into Edwards, but again, it's that old adage. When they go 7 or 8 games without a point, what they're going to do?
I'm intrigued with what you say about the two up front, because it could be one of those little cheat codes that no team prepares for an opposition to have two up front. Now, there may be a reason for that. They don't prepare for an opposition to have five up front as well. I get that. But sometimes, you know, when you have younger players or whatever, they've been drilled through the academies, through the systems to play against one striker and two wingers, you know. And I think Edwards might mix it up a little bit and think, right, let's see what they can do with this, you know.
The other thing you've got to look at is
Brighton will win 5-0.
The other thing you've got to look at is that how many of their players have Premier League experience? And I'll tell you something now, it's not many.
Ross Barkley.
Ross Barkley's one. Marvellous Nakamba's the umber.
Yeah.
He was there on loan last season. They've signed him permanently. Other than that, it's quite, like I said earlier, it's quite thin gruel.
Yeah.
It's difficult to find players. And maybe that's a strength. Maybe they're not going to be scared of anything, and that's a good thing. But to me, it looks like, you know, the two players they started off with up front last season, Colton Morris and Elijah Adebayo. I don't want to be disrespectful, but are really people going to be frightened of how many goals they can score?
Well, we shall see. We shall see.
Right, now it's time for the Football Ramble Acca with Betfair. With Betfair, you can build your own football accumulators this season with their new 90-minute payout, where all winning selections will be paid out at 90 minutes on their match odds 90 markets, regardless of what happens in added time. And with the amount of added time we're going to see this season, that's actually quite a big deal. Mm. For every weekend in August, you can also celebrate the return of the season with a completely free Acca on the football. So every Friday on the preview show, we're going to each choose our own weekend Premier League game and build an Acca of four match odds 90 bets. Marcus, you kick us off first.
Everton versus Fulham. Fulham to win!
We'd expect you to start no other
way. Come on the front foot. Mitrovic, he's going nowhere. He's back in business. Lovely old job.
That's an amazing heel turn by him.
It's just the Fulham way.
It turns out they don't want me anymore. Well, so I mean, now I'm really dedicated
to they not want him?
I don't know.
I mean, with regards to the Kane thing, you said, give me an example of when a player's wanting to leave, you know, and he hasn't gone. There's another one.
It's the silver factor. There's another one. The other one he picked was like an obscure player from like Italy. In about
Andrea Pirlo. Yeah. An obscure player.
No, you to
World
go back
Cup
a long
and
way.
Champions
you
League.
To go a long way
I
back.
Just popped into my mind.
So Fulham to win. And Vish, what have you gone for?
I've gone for Newcastle to beat Aston Villa.
Ooh. Yes. That's as good as 3 points for me, yes.
And Vish, we know, is a predicting machine.
He is.
Yeah.
Still dining out on that one.
It's an amazing pre-season.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the reason I picked Newcastle, because I think, you know, they've got new faces to blood in, but they've had a very enthusiastic pre-season. Starting this season with a lot of the energy from the end of last, I think it's going to carry forward.
Ooh.
And I think also, you know, if you think of the possibilities of what Newcastle can achieve this season, I think the fans there will be crucial. At St. James's Park, it's going to be an amazing atmosphere, isn't it? Particularly in an evening game, so fair enough. Mm. Peter?
I've gone for the match Arsenal versus Nottingham Forest. I've gone for an Arsenal win.
Sticking your neck out there.
Arteta has... Well, you've got to have a gimme at one point in this competition, haven't you? If he's learned anything from last season, Arteta, is that you can't drop points. So get him in.
Cannot. I think Forest could have a good season, you know.
That's what we're doing. We're dropping too many points.
Dropping too many points. Yeah. Stop that.
All right, so that's an Arsenal win. I've gone for the Chelsea versus Liverpool game. I've gone for a home win.
Ooh.
I've gone for Chelsea to win. I think Liverpool are a few players short still. And to be perfectly honest, I didn't want to be the one to let us down the first week, so I went for a Sunday game.
Coward.
Yeah, so by the time it comes round to my game, there'll be a huge amount of pressure or it'll already be all over.
Come on.
So, but I kind of echo some of your comments earlier about Pochettino. And I think, like I say, I think Liverpool are a couple of players short and Chelsea being at home, I thought that's the one that swung it for me. So in summary, Fulham to win, Newcastle to win, Arsenal to win, Chelsea to win. That's our Football Ramble Acca for this weekend. Remember with Betfair this season, when you place a bet on their match odds 90 markets, your winning bet will be paid out in full at 90 minutes. Any bets that are winning at 90 minutes but are then undone by some stoppage time drama will not be affected. And that's the same for the Ramble Acca every week. A £10 bet with Betfair on that returns £150 and 23 pence. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. Plus, added bonus, for every stoppage time goal in the Premier League this weekend, Betfair will donate £10 to Prostate Cancer UK. So keep an eye on that as well, raising a lot of money for charity, because that's what we're all about.
Oh yeah,
that's exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply, 18 plus only. And for more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It never gets boring, that one. Hello to Jake Powell on Instagram. He said, hello, Peter. Please, can you change the ding sound for the correct answer on Jack's encyclopedia, please? It's really loud when I'm driving compared to the voices. I've been listening since I was 16. I'm now 25. So thanks for partly bringing me up. Imagine feeling like we're... somehow his dad.
Is there a class action lawsuit on the way for all these,
sounds
all these
like,
kids
it sounds like
yeah.
Yeah.
It takes a ramble to raise a child.
Simple game of categories. I'll give you all a category. All you have to do is give me an answer that fits in that category. If you're too slow, you're going to hear Gary Neville. And let's kick things off with Vish.
Have you turned the thing down, by the way?
Right with you. This is the first time I was reading the message, so I think that's quiet. Quite, I think that's quiet, yeah. Right, Vish, we're going to kick things off with you. Strikers Spurs have signed since Harry Kane's first team debut in 2011, which is August the 25th, versus Hearts in Europa League qualifying. Out-and-out strikers that Spurs signed after that date. There are seven players. Out-and-out strikers.
That's tough.
It is tough.
It is tough.
I've only got seven.
Soldado.
Correct. Marcus?
Carlos Vinicius.
Oh, that's good. Little Fulham link.
There you go.
Lovely stuff.
Vincent Janssen.
Oh, nice.
Nice, I like it.
That is good.
That's all I aim for. I haven't disgraced myself. That's all I aim for.
Yeah.
That's the one I had. striker. Who is a striker? Who likes striking? Chelsea, a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written. I generally, my mind come completely blank.
I don't even know what that means. Marcus?
Strikers, eh? Oh, dear. It's Torres to give Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written. Stefan Iversen. That's way early.
Luke, can we have one from you?
Come on, Morsi.
Richarlison.
Richarlison.
Not a striker.
That doesn't count.
Not a striker.
That doesn't count.
Counts.
Counts.
We all knew Richarlison.
It's on his list. It's on his list. Counts.
It's on my list.
We've been done. We've been done.
He's playing up front. He's a striker. Look,
he'll have number nine in a bit.
Vish, the big competition today was the Harry Kane one, which I won. So I'm
Lukey Moore wins that round.
I've got my Bundesliga title.
Can we not undermine the fact that I've just won a point for the first time in about 6 months?
You could have had Emmanuel Adebayor.
Oh, blimey.
Undeniably a striker. Fernando Llorente.
Oh, yeah.
Llorente.
Luis Saha.
Yeah.
Louis Saha.
I
love Louis Saha. He shouldn't stay at Newcastle.
What's the takeaway from that
round?
Had
a terrible time. Lukey Mill wins that round.
If I start the season off with a win, this will be massive. It's going to be massive.
All right, round number two. Kicking things off with Marcus.
Let's have an England one.
it's England based. Jurgen Klopp signings at Liverpool. 41 players.
Oh, blind. 41.
But he never gets the support. He never gets the support.
No. Mo Salah. I was going to say that better.
It's going to be a job for production to tick these off as they go.
Darwin Nunez.
Darwin Nunez.
Luis Diaz.
Virgil van Dijk.
Alexis McAllister.
Lovely.
Naby Keita.
Sadio Mane.
Fabinho.
Andy Robertson.
Nice.
I'm struggling as to who we had.
I'm concentrating on the list. I'm like, where's the list?
Alisson Becker, have we had him?
Nice. Full name as well. Good to see.
Yeah, good to see.
Roberto Firmino.
Okay. It was just
unlucky.
Before.
I thought it was his first signing.
Clearly not. There's plenty on this list, though. 41 of them. Okay. Unlucky, Luke. You've got the point in the bag.
Exactly.
You've got the round in the bag. You're relaxed. Yeah. Yeah, you're
I feel like
out.
Tim Hemmer in the second week of Wimbledon.
Lovely.
All right, Vish.
Cody Gakpo.
Nice.
Oh, like that, is it?
Yeah. Lovely names in here.
John Matip.
Oh. Very good.
Yes. The only entrant with an umlaut.
Ooh. Ibrahima Konate.
Correct.
James Milner.
Oh.
Was he?
I was a little bit like, well, he's out of left field.
So
but
I
I'm
need to guess
it.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan Shaqiri.
I like
very well played
that.
Well done. Well
confusing
Vish.
Me because I forgot that it's spelt with an X. The big list. All right, we got
Marcus. This, pointless.
This, yeah,
pointless.
Marcus. Richard Osman.
But you've got the chance in the last round.
Nice.
All right, final round.
Final round.
Final round. And
me first.
And you're going to kick things off, Luke. But Marcus needs to get in here to get to the tiebreak.
I do, don't I?
Yeah. Fun. All right, Luke. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Name the 20 Premier League managers in charge on the first day of the 2020-21 season.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Name the 20 Premier League managers in charge on the first day of the 2020 season.
So Luke
season.
Has to name all 20, otherwise he's out, yeah?
Okay, Guardiola.
Erik ten Hag.
You didn't hear the question properly, Vish, did you?
No.
Oh, no.
So it's not this season.
No, 2021.
2020-21 season.
Right.
Yeah.
Touch for you, Mark, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll go for Jurgen Klopp.
Did you think that as well?
I did.
Unbelievable. Get a tiebreak. I'm on your side now.
So it's me versus Marcus.
And me.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Who was manager on the opening 2021 season? Brendan Rodgers.
Oh, nice.
Oi!
I didn't
hear
that.
Hey, whoa. What's going on?
Passing notes to Marcus.
Outrageous.
That is so
naughty. We've got it on camera, don't worry about it.
Yeah. It's Torres. Eddie Howe.
Oh, that's really interesting, but it's wrong.
Oh, Luke Moore's done it.
Lukey Moore has done it.
Yes! I've actually won.
Moore wins.
Just by saying Guardiola and Rodgers, I won.
There you go.
Yeah. Does that count as the first match of the season, or was last week the first match of the season?
Well, the Premier League hasn't kicked off yet, so it's still pre-season. Okay.
All right, good stuff. All right, let's get out of here. That was Jackson's Encyclopedia.
I know, I do.
You don't even listen to the questions, you two.
Shouldn't have to.
So simplify them.
It's about gut feel.
Simplify the process and mic up the referees.
There's nothing more pathetic than Vish trying to pass a clue to Marcus and you look at it, it just says Klopp.
Like the most, he didn't even say it.
He's just written the word shoot like Paul Ince that time.
The most obvious manager of all of them.
I wrote Rob Edwards. You're completely wrong.
You've written Will Carling.
Yeah. Well, anyway, everybody, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, YouTube and Instagram at Football Ramble, and don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Well done, Luke Moore, for winning Jackson's Encyclopedia. But of course, the main competition was that Harry Kane one, which I won.
Keys. Is the season officially open?
The season is open, baby. There they are.
Hairy hands.
The keys in the lock. The weekend and the season open together.
Yeah. Lovely.
How about that?
Let's get more keys.
Thanks to Pitbull.
Pitbull's there.
Yeah.
Doing his thing.
Yeah.
There we are. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Ta-ta.
Thank you for tuning in, Raja.
Buonasera.
Thank you, Pitbull. And we'll see you very, very soon. Enjoy the football.
Thank you, Pitbull.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.